Using the power of minor internet celebrity to promote vaccines. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, in for Molly Wood. The Biden administration is reportedly considering recommending a booster shot of the COVID vaccine, but almost a third of Americans over 12 haven't gotten their first dose yet. Some local health departments are pioneering a new way to reach the holdouts through micro-influencers. These aren't the big stars of social media with millions of fans and their own product lines or whatever. Rather, these folks have smaller, local followings in specific communities. The city of San Jose, California, and the Knight Foundation recently partnered with about 50 Vietnamese, Latinx, and Black micro-influencers to promote vaccines. Andy Lutzky is the city's chief communications and marketing officer. He says San Jose's vaccination rate rose 12 percentage points over the summer, in part because of the influencers' work.
There was one incredible post from a small business owner here in San Jose. His Instagram is marco.dng, and his post was this incredibly heartfelt, vulnerable post around how he has struggled in the last year and how important it was that his community got the vaccine so that small businesses like his could prosper. So as you looked at the content across all these creators, it did a fantastic job of reaching these communities in ways that they wanted to receive information in ways they already trusted.
What are the benefits of having them deliver this message versus, you know, someone with a really big following like Steph Curry or something?
Not everyone is listening to Steph Curry. For some people, they get information and they follow personalities who are more specific to their interests, specific to their backgrounds, specific to the kinds of people that they relate to. For some, it is a struggling Hispanic small business owner. For some, it is a young Vietnamese artist. So the goal is that influencer relations isn't our single avenue to solve misinformation, but it is one of several channels, ideally, that we can use so that we can communicate things like pandemic safety in a more high quality and accurate and timely fashion.
You mentioned that these efforts were coupled with sort of more traditional outreach, going door to door, working with clinics and that kind of thing. How do you measure whether, you know, the influencer campaigns really made the difference?
We have a couple of direct measurement methods. We could always look at vaccination rate, infection rate. We can look at several indirect measures, engagement with the content that was created, sentiment and positivity of the content, direct comments on the content. In terms of sentiment, we were really struck the comments and content that was developed as part of this campaign were 98% positive. We expected a far lower metric than that. 98% positivity told us that we were on the right track as far as reaching communities with quality information that they could trust and use. Routinely, we saw comments that said, "Thank you for this. Because of this post, I'm going to get my vaccine. Because of this post, I'm going to share this information with my family or friend or loved one so they get the vaccine." And as you see more of those in some of these communities where vaccine hesitancy has been high, it shows that it's working. Now, bigger picture, influencer relations should be one part of the solution. I would not position influencer relations as a panacea to solve vaccine hesitancy, to solve misinformation. Influencer relations is one channel that we hope to use to begin to build long-term lasting trust with communities that for quite a while we may have been missing.
And it sounds like you guys are viewing this as almost, you know, a down payment in terms of reaching these communities in the long term.
You could imagine 20 years ago, public sector communications folks were saying, "I need to have a website. I got to pay for web hosting." And maybe 10 years ago, they were saying, "I got to have a Twitter and a Facebook." Influencer relations is going to be one of those things in the years ahead that we're going to see become more and more commonplace in the public sector and overall just improve the government's ability, particularly local government, to get the word out about important things and important causes.
Yeah, what sorts of important things and important causes might you use these kinds of pathways for in the future after, you know, vaccine outreach?
The amount of natural disasters we have here in California, we could see situations where needing to get the word out urgently about important action will be very important, particularly for these communities that traditional public sector communications doesn't reach. And hopefully our ability to create some of these trusted pathways now will improve our ability to get the word out when we really, really have to.
Andy Lutzky is San Jose's chief communications officer. He says San Jose might use influencers to share information about wildfires, floods, and earthquakes next. And now for some related links. We've got a report on the San Jose program linked at our website, marketplacetech.org. An LA Times story about similar campaigns reports that the agency San Jose partnered with, Zomad, has developed a platform where influencers can fine-tune their messaging to respond to events like the pause of Johnson & Johnson vaccines or new online misinformation. And speaking of misinformation, public health departments aren't the only ones interested in using the power of influencers. The BBC reports that a mysterious marketing agency approached several YouTube creators in Europe with offers of money to spread misinformation about the vaccines. Some of the YouTube stars alerted authorities. The New York Times later reported the agency was linked to a Moscow-based company and that some of the talking points it circulated were similar to promotional materials for Russia's Sputnik V vaccine. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.